And welcome to the podcast, the music podcast with Cole, Adam, and Garnet Reed here as your hosts.
Nah, don't bring Cole into this. Fuck Cole.
Cole has missed the podcast. It is just Adam and I with you today.
Cole currently right now is in a Zate graduation party like a little fucker. So we're gonna deny Cole's appearance in this podcast because he doesn't deserve it right now. He needs to make up for it.
He brought the energy. He was excited about it, but it was fake energy.
It was fake energy. It was 100%
fake
energy.
We're about to provide y'all with some of that real energy.
So topic today, and what I was just doing air drums to, I know you can't see us, but we were just rocking some air drums to it, is St. Paul and the Broken Bones. That big ass band.
Alabama.
That big ass band from Alabama.
Got going. They bring the soul. They bring the gospel. Got going in 2012. We've done a little research about them. You can hear them in the background here. We're going to talk about St. Paul and the Broken Bones today.
First of all, we want to talk about why we want to talk about St. Paul and the Broken Bones.
That's a great place
to
start.
That's a good place to start, right? Yeah. They get into your soul, man. They really get in there.
I do. Well, and, one of the big reasons why I was Cole wanted to talk about them is that here.
Yeah, he's not even fucking here. But so
they do.
So Cole and I saw him live, and I really liked the band before then. But after seeing him live, they really like they kind of fucked with me. Honestly, they were phenomenal. Lead singer absolutely killed it. It's a guy named Paul Janeway. And Garnet's going to tell you a little bit about him later. He's got a really interesting history.
Yeah.
Why don't you just tell him now?
Sounds like a soul guy. Yeah. You listen to them, you feel like you listen to damn Otis Redding or something.
It's like Al Green reincarnated.
This dude, he's a white boy. He's a chubby white boy from Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama. I think Birmingham. And he, apparently, growing up, they say, his parents only let him listen to Christian and gospel music. And I quote, a dash of Sam Cooke and Marvin Gaye. So that kind of gives you a feeling of how strict his music listening was.
Well, let's talk about that real fast. Because
but you can absolutely see that listening to St. Paul and the Broken Bones, it is straight Christian. It's not Christian, but it's you feel the gospel, you feel the Sam Cooke and the Marvin Gaye.
I want to talk about this real fast. His parents were so strict that they only let him listen to gospel, but then they let him listen to like Let's Get It On by Marvin Gaye, one of the most sexual artists ever.
That's true. Oh, no, from the video, it was only the old Marvin Gaye. It was not, oh, okay. It was not like the grapevine, it was the old soul Marvin Gaye.
Okay, like OG Motown Marvin Gaye.
Yeah, that's what I said. And apparently, so like obviously growing up only listening to that music, apparently he was going to be a preacher all his life. He always had a great stage presence, he always had a great voice. And apparently he loved moving crowds, you know. So he wanted to become a preacher, and obviously his parents were religious, so he was going to, you know, stay in religion. And he basically got up there, and he loved, like, moving people, but he figured he hated the ideology of the Christianity. He didn't hate all of it, obviously. It was good ideology, but he hated parts of it. And
yeah, let's not bring up religious shit.
Yeah, we're not political podcasts. But apparently he loved just moving people. He loved being in front of crowds. And he'd sing in front of them every now and then. He'd play like shitty guitar, but everybody complimented his voice. So that, I think that kind of turned him to his next passion, which was, well, and so that turned him to, he dropped that passion. Then he wanted to become an accountant, apparently. And he went to a community college, but all the while on the side, he was still playing music with people. And he loved singing. But he was going to become an accountant. He was two semesters away from his accountant degree, they say. And then he played one last hurrah with like one of his buddies, and it was gonna be the last hurrah, and then he was gonna go into the real world, become an accountant, that boring desk job, 9 to 5, you know, until he retired. But they played their one final show, and apparently for the show they wrote this song. We'll start with this one song called "Broken Bones and Pocket Change," and for some reason a bunch of people really I got on the song and really enjoyed it. And this is and he's like, hey, maybe I don't want to become an accountant. Maybe I'll be a musician. And he did not even do the last two semesters of accountant school.
I bet you I bet you his parents were pissed. Like, dude, this guy was going to be a fucking accountant. And then, essentially from a very Christian family, he just decides to become a musician.
Joe and start a rock band. But honestly, good for him, and thank goodness, because he does not have the voice of a fucking accountant.
Yeah, like, they don't even fucking speak.
Yeah. Accountant. So anyways, thank goodness for the song we're about to play. It's called Broken Bones and Pocket Change. And this song is really the reason why our friend St. Paul is not doing your taxes and he's entertaining us.
This song is brought to you by, we're gonna put a little ad in
here. This song is brought to you by Teddy Garner's ass powder. If you're ever at Farmington and you get a little swamp ass, just look for Teddy Garner ass powder to alleviate your situation.
Thank God for Teddy Garner ass powder. Look it up. It's in your local CVS. Also, if you are not a member of Farmington, you cannot get the ass powder. So make sure you have your Farmington number with you. Handy.
Drip, drip.
Drip, drip. All right, here's Broken Bones and Pocket Change.
Broken Bones and Pocket Change.
Broken Bones and Pocket Change.
This song, he pours his heart out, right?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely. Yeah,
he absolutely grabs the mic in the studio, on the stage, wherever he is, and he pours his soul out and lets everyone know what's up.
Just talk about seeing him in Richmond.
So
I'm pissed I missed that concert.
Yeah, that was a sick concert. Cole and I, fuck Cole, right? It's a unanimous decision by the podcast. Fuck Cole. It's National Fuck Cole Day. So we went down to Richmond with Carson Talbot and Teddy Garner and saw him live. And this dude is standing on the stage wearing a fucking cape. He's wearing a black cape all the way down to his ankles with like sparkles on.
Big white boy from Alabama. He's a great voice with pipes.
Big white boy. And he just grabs the mic and pours his heart out. And at the end, or not even the end, like 10 minutes in, he's sweating his ass off. He looks like he just ran a 5 mile like race or something. And he's just pouring his heart out on stage. Phenomenal voice. And we haven't even talked about the backup band. The backup band is crazy good.
But so the crazy, what I, from my small like kind of research on him. So apparently like he pours his heart out, and of course he does because he loves it. I think I would love singing if I had a freaking voice that he had. Apparently he's like hyper competitive. And what I love is you see all these frou-frou singers and performers like, oh, I just do it because I just love being up there. It's like it's my special spot. Like I'm sure that is for him, but when you ask him, he's like, I love being up there because I'm very competitive. I want to be better than everybody else. And so apparently like when they're getting big, they're like the ideal starter band to have, but no bands wanted them as their starter band because they would go up there with the mentality of being better than the people who are going to come in front of them or they're starting for. So in the end, though, they ended up becoming the starter band for the Rolling Stones. But I think that worked out well because I don't think anybody can beat the Rolling Stones.
No, I mean, the Rolling Stones are
so,
the
so that, that's kind of so during their big up and coming after Counted School, something happened, but there was a starter band for the Rolling Stones for a little bit. Pretty dope.
You have some balls.
I quote Mr. Paul Janeway, Mr. St. Paul. Apparently, he says, there's really only one speed, and that's 100 miles per hour. And his, like, idea is, you know, he sings like it's his last time every time.
This dude obviously has massive balls because he's going up on stage, opening for the Rolling Stones, saying, I'm going to compete with Mick Jagger. Like, literally the guy that's fucked, what, 1,000 girls?
Yeah.
Respectfully. Don't know why I put the respectfully in there. But yeah, that was a huge breaking point for St. Paul and the Broken Bones. Huge breaking point. But one thing that also was a breaking point for him was getting into the Nashville scene I don't know. A lot of people in Nashville keep – I'm from Nashville, so I have a complete bias just opening that up for the listeners. But they were able to play at a free concert at Lightning 100. It's a radio station. Shout out. Called Live on the Green. And there's probably 5,000 people there at the concert, and they fucking killed it. But my mom, I was 18 at the time. I just got my wisdom teeth out. My mom fucking didn't let me go. Didn't let me go because I just had my wisdom teeth out. Didn't let me go. They were my favorite band at the time. It's harsh. It's harsh. Living in the Young household is harsh.
Makes sense. Yeah. Mommy Young will lay down the hammer.
She will lay down the hammer. It doesn't matter if you're her son or not. She will tell you what's up.
It's kind of funny. I was talking to Adam today, and he drove up from Nashville yesterday. We had a legendary weekend at the Young household the other day, watching horse races and going out on Broadway.
Tons of horses.
But I was talking to Adam today. I was like, dude, yo, Adam, bro, how was the drive up yesterday? He's like, dude, it was great. I picked up a hitchhiker. I'm like, Adam, you did what? He's like, yeah, I picked up a hitchhiker. I'm like, what the fuck? And he's like, yeah, the hitchhiker had a goat and 8 and 6 puppies. And I, you know, me thinking, Adam, thinking normally, I'm like, oh, I'm sure he has a goat and 6 puppies at his house. Like, that's probably a intriguing conversation. And then something in my brain kind of talked to me. He's like, wait, this is Adam Young. They might actually have been in the car. I'm like, Adam, for this.
He's laughing at a picture of me that I just pulled up with the fucking goat.
The goat and 6 puppies in your car. He's like, yeah, man. He's like, you had the goat and 6 puppies. I'm like, Adam, you fucking picked up a hitchhiker with a goat and 6 puppies and you had a goat in your car.
So I pulled up to Wendy's drive-thru. No, fuck it. We're going to laugh through this too much. We'll be back. Here's a break. We're going to come back with a quick ad. This podcast is brought to you by Poopy Face Luke Binet's Nip Pepperoni Nipples. If you want your nipples to grow a little bit, you're a little insecure about how small your nipples are, and you want to be bigger than the girls that you're hooking up with, then buy Poopy Face Luke Binet Pepperoni Nipples. Because not only do they make your nipples bigger, they make you smell like pepperoni.
Nipple Eric Center is not included. All right, so you're Wendy's drive-thru with a goat, and what did they say? Anything interesting?
Wendy's, people that work at Wendy's love goats. That's what I've learned yesterday.
Goat food. Goat probably loved it.
They loved it. They love goats. They almost tried to give us a discount, but I said, no, ma'am, this isn't my goat. I'm not going to take a discount, you know?
Now, did you buy a meal for the hitchhiker?
I tried.
And he just said no?
He said he wanted a Dr. Pepper. I was like, damn, all right. And then I gave him a lip afterwards, and he poured out the Dr. Pepper. I was like, damn, that's harsh.
To pack a lip?
To pack a lip.
Bro, pack a lip with the boys.
And then he hit the Juul afterwards. No, he's taking all my nicotine products. I don't do nicotine, Mom. I don't do nicotine. Taking all my nicotine.
He just has them for when he picks up hitchhikers.
Exactly. I just have a Juul and some dip.
Fair enough.
He afterwards tries to smoke my Juul. This dude's so cool, so I don't know why I'm shitting on him in live air. You know, this is gonna go out to thousands of people, but he rips my Juul and starts coughing. It's a Garnet Reed move. All right, back on St. Paul and Brooklyn. We got off topic.
Oh, yeah, that was about Adam's mom. Adam's mom did not let Adam go see St. Paul and Bergman.
No. Harsh.
But Lord, no. If she figures out about this damn hitchhiker and goat, that would be hilarious.
I'd probably die.
I'm making Adam put that phone call on speakerphone so I can maybe have some fun.
This could be the last time I talk.
Shall we continue? Let's talk more, a little more about their label.
Let's talk about St. Paul and the Bergmans. They're from Birmingham, but they recorded in Florence and Muscle Shoals. The Muscle Shoals is right across the river from Florence, and there's a fantastic, I can't stress it enough, label out there called Single Lock. It's based in Florence, Alabama. It's founded by John Paul White. John Paul White used to be in the Civil Wars, and Garnet's already laughing at the name because he knows the story behind him, but I'm going to tell y'all. So the Civil Wars was a fantastic duo group. I wouldn't even call them a band. They're just a girl who plays piano, has a great voice, and John Paul White who plays guitar, and he has, an incredible voice. I almost said top 10. I think he's top 10 voices.
Not St. Paul voice, though.
Currently living. St. Paul, I mean, Paul's in there as well. So there's a great story with that comes with the Civil Wars. It's both of them were married, right? Yeah, two people in the band, both of them were married, they go on tour. And, you know, they pour their heart on the stage, they play their songs, they play a lot of love songs, because they have a lot of love songs in their arsenal.
But they're not making any love.
They're not making any love.
Because their spouses are at home.
But they change. That changed fast. They start hooking up with each other.
Naturally,
right? You're playing music, you're on the road, you're living in hotel rooms. How is it not? It's really hard not to show up at the other person's, you know, hotel room. So they start making love, and that subsequently gets them divorced, both of them. So, you know, John Paul White gets divorced with his wife. The girl gets divorced with her husband. And that's going along smoothly. And then they continue to hook up, all right? And this is putting some stress on the band. And they get married. And I'm like, okay, this is fantastic.
Those old marriages are faded.
Bye-bye old marriages. But they're getting married. And I'm like, fantastic. They're going to get married. They're going to make music for 25 years, 30 years.
They're making
plenty of love.
Yeah.
Garnet's focused on the love over here. So they're making plenty of love. And then they get fucking divorced. I don't know what happens. I don't know if it's too much stress on the band. But the divorce causes the band to break up. And John Paul White is just a gift that this world cannot go without. So he decides to create this label called Single Lock.
But is that not poetic? No more civil war.
No more civil war. I guess it's kind of good. That's kind of nice.
Yeah. It's poetic. It meant to happen.
Like no more people dying. No more brother versus brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They should be called like Peace Corps now. My God.
That was a good dad joke for me right there. So Single Lock, the label, has St. Paul and the Broken Bones. They also have artists such as Brittany Howard, who's fantastic, from the Alabama Shakes. Don't know if she's still recording with Alabama Shakes. It's kind of a question mark in the music industry. Then they also have Madison Ward and the Mama Bear. And, you know, this label is killing it. Like, absolutely killing it. They have so much soul behind them. They have fantastic producers. When St. Paul and the Broken Bones wanted a new producer for their album Young Sick Camellia, they got Jack Splash. And we're going to talk about this after this break.
This is brought to you by Austin Anderson's Diapers. Made especially for those who maybe have a few too many drinks one night and maybe can't control the bladder in the bed. Well, Luckily, you've got Austin Anderson's diapers to bring them to you. You're not looking like a baby. You're not looking like an old person. These are cool dude diapers. You're looking like fucking Justin Bieber and Calvin Klein fucking pants in these diapers. Austin Anderson's diapers, buy them, $29.99.
You know everything that comes out of Austin Anderson's shop? It has drip drip.
It has the drip. But drip stays in the diaper. Drip does not leave the diaper.
Drip does not leave the diaper. So their new album that came out in 2018 is Young Sick Camellia. And it's, first of all, a fantastic album from lyrically by St. Paul. Fantastic album coming from the backup band with the Bones. It's just a great album. But one thing we want to highlight here is how well it's produced. It's produced by Jack Splash. Jack Splash already has a name in the music industry. He's won 3 Grammys. He's been nominated for 10. He's worked with artists like Kendrick Lamar, CeeLo Green.
CeeLo.
And when he worked with CeeLo Green, he did Fool For You, which is a fantastic song. If you don't know it, go. Dude, CeeLo's chilling now.
All right, keep going.
He's made his stacks.
I hope he's chilling. He's a chill.
I hope he's on a beach right now as we speak. With his little, like, you know, dad belly, whatever he has. Jennifer Hudson, R. Kelly, that's a rough one to work with, especially coming out now. I bet you he didn't know about it back in the day.
He had that remix to Ignition.
Yeah, he did. I hope he produced that song. Lupe Fiasco, and then Solange, and many, many more. Go check out his Wikipedia. Wikipedias are dope, first of all. Like, there's like a... Put a shout out in.
So I got all my information.
All my information. And yeah, for this we have more in depth research. We're talking about straight classes.
We go deep for this PCAS, bro.
Yeah, but for straight classes, we go Wikipedia, you know, and we act like we didn't use Wikipedia for it.
Adam's a big cut and paste guy.
Yeah, I am. You know.
All right.
So the production of this album is fantastic because of the variety in between the songs. You have Apollo, which is majorly in-depth production quality. You have different types of features that are on every single instrument. It is just fantastic. You've Got It Bad, which kind of sounds like a new poppy kind of song that has a soul voice on it. And then you have Bruised Fruit, which is kind of an old soul Motown
Bruised Fruit Live. From what I heard, it was like one of the most insane live performances you've ever seen. You talk a little more about
that. Yeah, I'll talk about that. So live, not only does he grab the mic, but during sad songs, he really gets into it. And Bruised Fruit is something that's close to his heart because this album was kind of about, lyrically, I'd say, because the other band members, you know, wrote their pieces for their own, you know, passions. But lyrically, I'd say this album was about his grandfather, who was falling on some rough health. And St. Paul is very close to him. So Bruised Fruit was a song that he wrote for his grandfather, and it is very, very deep, very, very in-depth. And when he performed it, he literally on stage cried. And it was top 10 most...
I've seen a lot of live concerts. I don't think I've ever seen a musician cry on stage.
Yeah, it was like... Honestly, I know I've been saying that he pours his heart on the stage, just like a cliche term I say a lot, but this dude was literally on stage letting us all know about his problems. So we're going to play Bruised Fruit for you. It's a fantastic song, and I hope you like it. Thank you.
But no one seems to recall the love that you gave, the love that you forsake. And I want you to know you won't cry.
One reason Garnet and I love, all right, you love it, right? It's Bruised Fruit, is because not only is St. Paul's voice just so fucking intense and soulful, but
you hear each important part of the band.
Yeah, I mean, the band comes out. Yeah. The key changes, the way that they make you feel with every single instrument.
So it's phenomenal. Result, it's only appropriate that we finish kind of talking about the band. We haven't talked about the band. All we've talked about is Mr. St. Paul. Son Paul.
Yeah, I mean, he's a big man, but like, we gotta talk about the band.
So to get a little like depth, St. Paul, the Broken Bones, are they're an 8-piece band. Or St. Paul and the Broken Bones. The Broken Bones are a 7-piece band, I used to say, but you have a guitarist, pianist, drums, a sax, trombone, brass, and trumpet. So we have this guy, Rowan Lohler on the guitar, Jesse Phillips on bass, Kevin Leon on drums, Al Gamble on keys. Al Gamble's got quite a background with other folks as well. Alan Brandstetter on trumpet, Amari Ansari on sax, and Chad Fisher on trombone. And that's the whole crew. But they bring the energy, don't they?
They definitely do. And once you see them live, you understand why they bring the energy, man. St. Paul walks off the stage a couple of times, and he's not even singing, and the band is just rocking the stage. They have the energy. They have the sound to them. They I mean, you can tell from the way they make music. And Garner and I talked about this.
But the funniest thing is, like, this is a soul band. You think of like, these guys, they're just a bunch of little white dudes. They look like a white dude accounting majors. Like, not the profile.
Yeah, they look like nerds. They look like absolutely nerds.
Yeah, but they damn bring the soul, and they would be great.
It's fantastic. And one thing Garner and I talked about before we recorded this podcast was how intense the band is and how fantastic it is. You can hear it from Call Me. With the you know, trumpet and sax and trombone in the background. You can hear it in almost every single one of their songs. They bring the intensity to the song. And that's something that St. Paul needs to be able to be a preacher on stage, like we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
He's bringing the energy through his voice.
Right? And he's a preacher through music, right? Is that not right?
So one
he's
thing...
preaching the modern gospel, that's what they say.
One thing that I really want to emphasize with this band is the variance in key changes. I didn't mean to say key changes. I would say more chord changes. They do change keys in a couple of songs. But the chord changes in between a lot of songs are ridiculous. And the variability is phenomenal, I would say.
And that comes down to the background guys, the bro and Laurel or guitar.
Right. And the way they record is also phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Like they record, they sit down in the studio, and they all play together. It's not like they break it down one instrument
really?
At a time.
Is that right?
I mean, to make the master, I bet you they do.
And they're recording. They record all their albums and most controls.
Yeah.
Really?
So it's in a single lock recording studio, and with this new album, it was with Jack Splash. This new album is fantastic. Garden and I give it, 4.5, 4.9 out of 5?
Yep.
It's a fantastic album.
Can't see him live. I'll be seeing him live as soon as I can.
It gives, Garnet is usually a non-chub person, but it gives Garnet probably like a 7-8 chub, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, all right, not chub.
All right. We won't talk about chub.
All right, I'll pick up goats to put in my car.
All right. Appreciate y'all listening to our podcast.
We're going to send you off with a legendary beat.
We are. It's Apollo. We are Garnet and Adam. Fuck Cole. He's not in this podcast.
Cole will be back next time.
Also, Ford's in the background. Appreciation Ford. Shout out to Ford.
Better than Cole.
100% better than Cole. At least he's here. Enjoy, Apollo. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.
Drip, drip.
Telling all the stars a name, hoping he just tell her, hey, and I love you, baby. I love you, baby. Running all through my brain, wishing that I could stay, yeah, just hold you, baby. Just to hold you, baby. Crocodile from my army, Captain, can you get her to call me? Though I may be far gone, know that she's my only desire. Stay in her arms where the moon is shaded. Lose control. Somebody just